We're here at a glyphosate-resistant Palmer Amaranth Field Day sponsored by the University of Nebraska here at Carlton, Nebraska, which south central part of the state. And Aaron Hager, who is a University of Illinois weed scientist, is here as the keynote presenter. Aaron, you've, of course, been dealing with the Palmer Amaranth situation for a while. Talk about what you're seeing so far here as compared to where you come from.
You know, it's a really good location here that the University of Nebraska has. A lot of good trials, a lot of good experiments. We're probably in Illinois not quite at the stage in terms of having the percent acres of Palmer Amaranth as what folks here in Nebraska have. Now, we do have it, by all means. We probably have, down through the years, identified it now, and I'd say probably roughly a third of Illinois' 102 counties. So we know it's there. But still, our number one problem with amaranthus across virtually all of Illinois is with water hemp. And by far and away, that's still our driver broadleaf species that we have. It's very similar in terms of its biology to Palmer amaranth. It's not as aggressive of a growing plant as what Palmer is, certainly not as competitive on a plant-to-plant basis. But it certainly is one that the numbers of plants that you could see per acre is just absolutely astonishing. And, of course, one of the biggest challenges that we have with water hemp in Illinois is the fact that virtually all of our populations now have evolved resistance to herbicides. And, you know, years and years ago, you know, we would find resistance, let's say, to ALS inhibitors, and we may find another field that had resistance to triazines or things like that. But it's actually fairly uncommon now to find a water hemp population in Illinois that's resistant to just one herbicide class. We just recently submitted a manuscript on a population actually in Champaign County where the University of Illinois is located. It actually demonstrates resistance to herbicides from five different site of action groups. And looking back through the application records of the farmer, one of the groups it's resistant to happens to be 2,4-D. And we could find no evidence that population had ever been sprayed with 2,4-D before we found it.
Palmer amaranth. Of course, we've been hearing about it for years, moving north, and it's definitely here in Nebraska now. You know, this is a scary one.
It's a species that, quite frankly, what we tell people in Illinois, you cannot take this species, you know, for granted. It's one that has clearly demonstrated that it does not obey our rules. It has its own set of rules, and if we want to be successful in an area of Palmer amaranth, we're going to have to change our strategies to match it, because again, of its competitive ability. It's a species in other parts of the U.S. that when people really haven't taken it seriously or have let it go too long and let it become too established has literally put people out of business, because it reaches a point where you have fields that simply are not farmable anymore.
Are we finding anything that's going to work here on this weed, or is this going to take a combination of things?
You know, it's a species that, quite frankly, I'm not sure that anybody would ever say that there's a one-shot tactic that's going to control this. By far and away, based on the biology of this species, very much like water hemp, it's one that's ideally suited for a very integrated approach to it. That includes herbicides, that includes non-herbicide tactics. And very similar to water hemp, you know, what we have tried to get folks to understand for a long time is that, you know, every time we've opened up a new jug and thrown it against water hemp, over time it's found a way around it. It's evolved resistance to it. And we're running out of jugs. But to really win the battle, so to speak, against these dioecious pigweeds like the water hemp, like the Palmer amaranth, we really need to focus our attention on attacking these species at the most vulnerable stage in the life cycle. And the most vulnerable stage in the life cycle is not an inch tall water hemp or an inch tall Palmer amaranth. The vulnerable stage is the seed. And the vulnerability there lies in the fact that these seeds do not remain viable in the soil seed bank indefinitely. They're not like velvet leaf, for example, that may remain viable for 50, 60, 70 years. On average, with these small-seeded pigweed species, you're probably looking at somewhere between 5 and 10 years on average, and most of that viability is gone. And so how do you use that information to win? Well, any tactic that you can implement that would preclude the female plants from producing seed, if you can do that continually in an area for maybe 3 or 4 years in a row, what you'll notice is that the population numbers actually begin to plummet. That's how you win. Now, it's not always simple, It's not always convenient, and it's not always cheap to do these things, but they are 100% effective in the long run. If that means that you've got a 30 or 40 acre field and you've got five or six palmers or water hemp plants remaining in the field after your last herbicide pass, you'll be saving yourself a tremendous amount of money into the future if you simply go hand pull those weeds out before they produce seed.